just thinking, it's really appropriate we were talking about this witchy book on the winter solstice.
Oh, wow.
I know when this comes out, it won't be the winter solstice, but we are recording.
It's fate.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to start now. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Book Squad Goals. Today, we will acknowledge right off the top that Susan is not here. Very sad. But to replace her, we have brought in a very special guest whose name I learned how to pronounce for the first time today, even though I've known her for over a year. So it's Ayla. Know that part. Got that part down. That's her. That's your first name. Okay. Zura Friedland.
Proud of you.
You did not sound confident.
Zura Friedland, which I thought was pronounced Zurau Friedland until this very morning.
Yes. A series of voice memos has cleared up that confusion.
So, Ayla, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi. I met Kelly on a gay dating app, and now we're friends.
That's true.
I also work in book publishing because I'm insufferable as a literary agent, so slightly different than Kelly, but
equally insufferable.
Enthusiastic. Okay, we can balance self-flagellation with nice words.
Well, we're so glad to have you.
So glad.
Thanks for having me and for following up after my birthday party on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, when she was like, I'm reading that book right now, and I was like, want to be on the podcast? And then I sent you, like, multiple texts over a course of weeks, like, you still want to do this? Okay, we're going to do it.
Listen,
so.
I'm a Sagittarius, but I can remember things sometimes.
I was telling Ayla earlier that both of you are married to Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm. So this should work out just fine.
Incredible.
What are you doing? I'm recording.
Hi!
You can't do this. My mom has joined the recording. You can't do this. You gotta go.
I have to get my socks. I'm cold. Hello, people.
Hi.
Does your mom be a guest?
They're all so cute. I see Emily.
My mom will not read a book, so she will not be a guest on the podcast.
Oh. I think that would, in fact, be funnier.
I remember.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I have an intro question. You can leave that in, like, how we leave in pet noises, except it's my mom.
Mom noises.
My pet.
She basically sounds like a small kitten, so it works. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have an intro question. Oh, today, I should say, we are discussing Everyone Knows Your Mother is a Witch by Rivka Galchen. Galchen? Galchen. I have a lot of problems pronouncing names. But this is a story about witch hunt kind of situation. So here's the intro question. It's 1618 and you have been accused of witchcraft. What did you do? Who would like to go first?
I would like to go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Aside from just being a woman with opinions, which I'm sure is something that we all did.
True.
This is Emily.
Yeah.
I definitely talk to cats and like have way too many of them living with me.
Three cats is too many.
I have three cats, no children, no desire to have children. I call my cats my children, and I talk to them like they're my children. And so, yeah, I'm fucked.
Have you ever ridden one backwards through the night?
I mean, I'm not saying I'm against it.
Okay.
It just hasn't come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The opportunity hasn't yet presented itself. Well, Emily said in the chat when I sent this doc that Kelly's going to say she's bisexual and that's why. So I guess I'll just let Emily have answered for me. but also I actually did, pretend to be a witch in elementary school. Well, it was like middle school to ward off bullies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically, I have this friend. We lived in the same apartment complex, and there were these like bullies on our school bus who, and like they would bully us on the playground. They wouldn't leave us alone. So my friend is Romanian, and her grandmother. I mean, my friend also speaks Romanian, but her grandmother is like only spoke Romanian, like did not speak English, and taught us how to say which I don't remember how to say it anymore, but she taught us how to say, I will cut off your finger in Romanian, and we would sit around on the playground chanting that.
Oh my gosh.
And then I would do, like, a very intense death glare as, like, to the bullies to try to make them be afraid of me. And it actually did work, and they stopped bothering us.
That's how you learned the death glare.
They were afraid of me. They thought I was going to put a curse on them.
Meanwhile, my Norwegian friend that I had in high school only taught us how to say queef in Norwegian. That's the only word I know.
Wow. Do you remember how?
Rumpafeta.
Wow.
That's good.
Rumpafeta?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's sort of like a
fart part, obviously.
Okay.
It's kind of an onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Exactly. That's what that
if you whisper that word, that's what a queef sounds like.
And if you whisper it three times, what appears?
Yes. I'm trying to think about what I would be doing. I definitely would just say the wrong thing to someone and then incite a campaign against me. Because, like, I feel like a lot, and we will talk about this, but, like, a lot of the witch speculation in this book is just like, oh, she said something one time and I didn't like it.
Uh-huh. That's what I mean. Like, we're all
and then all of a sudden they're like, she rode a goat backwards.
Yeah.
And then one thing leads to another. It started out with a kiss.
How did it end up like this?
I feel like my answer is somewhere in the middle, or like joining Kelly and Mary's, mm-hmm. because I feel like I would have said something about being a witch as a bit.
Yeah.
I just like thought people were doing the bit with me and just kind of kept leaning into it. And then I'm being murdered and I'm like, oh, fuck.
All of a sudden, the authorities are showing up and stealing you naked in the night.
Yeah, and I'm like, guys, stop.
It's a little far. The joke, it's the bit has gone too far.
Yeah, like, leave chamomile out of this.
Yes. I love chamomile. She's my favorite character. Okay, so as I said, we are discussing Everyone Knows Your Mother is a Witch. We will be spoiling it. It's sort of also history, which is like, can you really spoil history?
Yes.
But you can, I guess. So
for this, I think you can.
Okay.
Guys, no spoilers. I haven't read the Wikipedia yet.
Yeah. I fully did not realize, like, I didn't realize that Johannes Kepler was like, like, I had heard that name before, maybe at some point, but I didn't realize he was a real person until the end, and I got to the acknowledgments, and I was like, oh, no wonder that name sounded so familiar.
Real dude.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to read this Goodreads summary as per usual. Everyone strap in. It's quite long.
It's a long one.
Yeah. And I cut out the part that's like, for fans of blah, blah, blah. So this isn't even as long as it actually was. Also, Emily, since you listened to the audiobook, is it Katarina or Katharina?
Katarina.
Okay. I thought so, but I'm just making sure to go with the theme of me not knowing how to pronounce names.
I didn't even know.
Including,
there was...
Oh, yeah, it's spelled with a T-H, so...
Yeah, I didn't even know there was an H in it, because I listened to it, so...
Yeah. The story begins in 1618 in the German... Okay, here's one word I don't know. Duchy?
Duchy.
Duchy of Württemberg. Duchy. That's how I'm going to say it for now on, because that's how I read it. Plague is spreading. Yes. The 30 Years' War has begun, and fear and suspicion are in the air throughout the Holy Roman Empire. In the small town of Leonberg, Katharina Kepler is accused of being a witch. Katerina is an illiterate widow, known by her neighbors for her herbal remedies and the success of her children, including her eldest, Johannes, who is the imperial mathematician and renowned author of The Laws of Planetary Motion. It's enough to make anyone jealous, and Katerina has done herself no favors by being out and about and in everyone's business.
And old.
So when the... I know.
And old.
Exactly, especially that. So when the deranged and insipid, or deranged and insipid, Ursula Reinbold, or as Katerina calls her, the werewolf, accuses Katerina of offering her a bitter witchy drink that has made her ill, Katerina is in trouble. Her scientist's son must turn his attention from the music of the spheres to the job of defending his mother. Facing the threat of financial ruin, torture, and even execution, Katerina tells her side of the story to her friend and next-door neighbor Simon, a reclusive widower imperiled by his own secrets. Drawing on real historical documents, but infused with the intensity of imagination, sly humor, and intellectual fire for which Rivka Galchen is known, Everyone Knows Your Mother is a Witch will both provoke and entertain. The story of how a community becomes implicated in collective aggression and hysterical fear is a tale for our time. Galchen's bold new novel, I pronounced it Galchen and then Galchen, did you guys notice that?
Just covering all the bases.
Yeah, just in case. Touchingly illuminates a society and a family undone by superstition, the state, and the moral convulsions of history. Okay. I finished reading that. So, good for me. So, for my first topic of discussion, this novel is written mostly in the first person from a few different perspectives. Most notably that of Katerina, the accused witch, and Simon, her literate next-door neighbor, who she enlists to record her story. We also get the testimony from a variety of townspeople answering the same basic questions about their experiences with Katerina. I am admittedly not a big historical fiction reader at all. But from my limited experience with the genre, I feel like her voice and writing style is pretty unique. So what did you guys think about it, about the voice and the style? And also correct me if I'm wrong and maybe recommend things that are similar to this because I have not read them.
Okay.
You're
not going to like this.
Wait, I just want to say really fast before we get into all of this, big old disclaimer for all of my comments throughout this. I listened to the audiobook of this, and I feel like that was a really bad idea. And I'm sure we'll get into that later, but I feel like if you all read the actual book, you might have perceived and experienced this book very differently than I did, because I think this is a book that you really benefit from, like, seeing the way that it's laid out, and especially because there are so many different voices. I really appreciate audiobooks when they get a lot of different voice actors, and I feel like this is one of those audiobooks that might have benefited from that a little bit because it was very confusing.
For sure.
The voice, as far as like the way that it was written, was not differentiated enough for me to like really keep track of who was talking just based on the style, because the style was kind of similar no matter who was talking. And so like sometimes I kind of got confused about like who was talking. Of the way that I experienced the book.
Yeah, you would think that they would have gotten two different narrators, at least for the two major, like, first-person perspectives, but...
And also, like, in the book, it's differentiated to me, like, almost entirely through formatting.
Yeah, exactly.
Simon's chapters are sort of, like, a little bolder, the font's a little different.
And also, at the beginning of all of Katerina's chapters, there's, like, these little stars. Yes, which were cute, and I liked. And then also, all the testimony parts are, like, bold question and then answer format. So as soon as you, like, flip the page, you're like, okay, I'm entering this.
Thankfully, like, the question at the beginning, because the question was always the same, kind of, like, I was like, all right, now we're getting to an interview. So, like, I picked up on that. Sometimes the other stuff.
Yeah. And it I don't know, for me, audiobooks in general, I struggle with unless they're, like, a very linear story. And, like, something like this, I can imagine, like, I might have listened and then they would be getting into, like, their description of what happened. And I'd be like, wait, who is this again? And when you're reading it, you can go and look at their name. And, like, when you're listening, it's like, you know. So
that was
I'm sorry for your experience.
I think you were about to say something.
Yeah, you're not gonna like this answer. Okay. This style, the format, not the tone, not the voice, but just the way it was set up is sort of like lots of different perspectives on the same person made me think of a Chuck Palahniuk novel.
Okay, you can turn off your camera now, Mary, and you can leave.
It's actually my favorite Chuck Palahniuk.
The fact that you have a favorite, but okay,
look, high school was a time.
I've never heard his name said out loud, so I'm team sorry in terms of ignorance.
Continuing the name pronunciation, that's the theme of this episode.
I really loved his novels in high school, which felt like an appropriate time to be really into them. And now I can look back and say, there are some big problems here in a variety of ways. But Rant is sort of like an oral history of a person told from a bunch of other people's perspectives. And it kind of reminded me of that. I enjoy it a lot because there came a point in Everyone Knows Your Mother is a Witch where I was like, well, I don't know what the truth is. Like, I don't think Katarina is riding around on goats backwards. I don't think she's doing anything. Yeah, who's doing that? But
also why is there a problem? Like,
well, she rode the goat to death, so
yeah,
that's not great.
Animal cruelty.
But like, other than that, I don't have a problem riding a goat backwards. But also, like, I don't think Katarina was doing witch things, but I also don't think she was 100% innocent of doing anything because she was
a little salty,
you know. She's a little salty, and I can see how people would, whereas we understand that because we get her first person perspective, I can see how some of the things she said were interpreted in a negative light. So I really enjoy novels that kind of like take the multiple looks at one person through different perspectives. That being said, the writing style itself, like the tone, at first I was like, oh boy, I am not going to be able to get into this. Like, we're in the 1600s. As usual, I read nothing about this book before I started reading it because I was like, this is what we're reading for the podcast. All right, got it. Liked the cover.
You don't have any choice anyway, so you might as well.
Yeah, and then when I started reading, I was like, oh, Kelly, 1600s?
Sorry, girl. This is what I'm bringing to the table.
I was like, okay, she's kind of funny, though.
Yeah.
She's kind of funny. She's got a specific tone. Like, it was very readable, even though it was sort of, like, formal in its 1600s-ish way. I don't know if any of that makes sense. Now, if I had been listening to it,
yeah,
I don't think I would have made it.
I also want to say, like, so I thank you for verifying. I thought I was going crazy or that I just, like, totally misunderstood the book. But, like, so I like to watch and read reviews of the books after I finish reading them just to, like, see how my thoughts, you know, match up to what other people are thinking. So I was, like, watching this review on YouTube, and the dude was straight up like, you never get Katarina's perspective. And I was like, what did I... And, like, because, like,
you read the same book.
I really, like, for a minute, I went back and looked because for a minute I was like, did I, like, totally misunderstand this book because I was listening to it and I didn't hear what I thought I heard? Like, I was like.
You got gaslit by this man.
And he. I know. And he read, like, the actual book. He didn't even listen to the audiobook. So he didn't even have the excuse that
did
I
did he, though?
I don't understand how you could misinterpret that. Like,
I know. I was like
there are worse.
I hate to say it. And if he is like respected and you like him a lot, you can cut it.
No,
but he was a dumb dumb.
I've never.
Like, he was a dumb dumb. I didn't think we got her perspective.
I just, you know, like was, I just searched.
Was he referring to like the fact that it was that she was dictating to Simon? Like, is that what he meant?
But. But it's still her perspective.
Yeah, like,
Unless, like, unless you want to make the argument that Simon changed everything she said when he wrote it down, and also her daughter changed
right,
everything
later.
When it was her. I mean, like,
it doesn't make
what
any
would
sense.
You base that on?
Yeah, there was, like,
boo!
Suggest that that would be the conflict here, or, like, that we're worrying about not getting Katarina's voice because it's so, like her, Katarina's chapters are so clearly hers, at least, like, in the book when you're reading it, I think, because of, like, the tone of her voice feels very specific to her. But...
And she's very... Yeah, what do I know? She's very... She's, like, funny, and that's... I think that's the main thing that differentiates her from the other chapters and, like, Simon's perspective in particular, because she's always, like, cracking jokes and, like, being a judgmental bitch, and Simon is like, I am but a simple man who...
Yeah, like, she really, like, pulls no punches in terms of what she thinks about people. What sign do we think Katarina is? Do we ever find out? I mean, like...
Yeah, when's her birthday?
I mean, no, it just means her son's an astrologer.
Yeah, okay.
You would think she...
Let's Google it and see if we can figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe you can find out.
I was just going to guess. I'm sure there's a more empirical way.
Darn it. So we know the day that she died, but not the day she was born, unfortunately.
Mm. No. Well, when did she die? Because sometimes people die near their birthdays.
April 13th.
Like Shakespeare.
Wait, so we're going to say that she's
and
a
no
Taurus.
Other people.
She's a Taurus because of the day she died.
You know, I don't think she's a Taurus. She doesn't strike me as a Taurus.
She struck me as a Capricorn, big time.
Yeah, I could see that. Or,
she's a little too sardonic to be an Aquarius, I think.
Yeah. But, like, she has...
I was thinking a little Aries.
Yeah, maybe. But also she has the judgmental nature of a Virgo. So...
But, like, she didn't have, like, the ambition of a Virgo. Like, she raised impressive children, but was just kind of, like, sick. I'm going to go hang out.
Right.
But, I mean, like, also, what else are you going to do in the 1600s?
Fair point.
What else are you going to do while, like, being illiterate in the
1600s? That, too. Not a lot of options.
Often, like, illiteracy and, like, just how often illiteracy was mentioned or, like, used as a plot point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Displayed why someone reacted the way they did.
Yeah.
This is our second back-to-back illiterate narrator book.
Yeah, it's very true.
The previous one.
We read Unsettled Ground last time, which also has another similarity, which and this is like a thing that I have later on in the doc, but like in that it is the only other book we've really read that has like an older... female narrator, like over the age of 50. But speaking of, I was.
Winners are illiterate. That's what we just
said. It's true, pretty much.
Illiterate.
So, like, I was reading a Vulture interview with the author earlier, and back to the idea that. Mary, you were talking about, like, is, you know, Katarina isn't totally innocent. So in this interview, the person interviewing, I guess I should say who it is if I scroll up, it's Hillary Kelly, wrote this piece for Vulture, which we will link to in the notes. It's pretty interesting. But she asks, isn't Katarina kind of a witch? She was an indomitable woman who mixed up tonics for neighbors and dispensed advice like she was everybody's mother-in-law. A woman without concern for social codes might as well collect newts' eyes and castrate men with a wink. And Galchen said, I remember when I was writing it early on, I thought the only way for this to be interesting is for her to be a witch. It has to subvert the expectation or otherwise it doesn't deliver that energy. But she realized she wasn't writing that kind of novel. The tension between Katarina's real potency and the magic she's accused of was enough. I do think she's unusually indifferent to other people's opinions, which is quite offensive to people, Galchen said. She has unsettling powers. Which I thought was interesting.
Honestly, Katarina's character reminded me of, like, every, like, middle-aged woman, middle to, you know, older age woman that I grew up around living in rural New England. Like big handmade pottery vibes, like have an opinion about everything, whether or not they have read the NPR article.
Low key town gossip.
Oh, high key town gossip.
Yeah. I guess furthermore, I mean, we're already kind of talking about her as a character, but what did you guys feel? Were you like, you feel sympathetic towards her? Did you feel like, how do you feel about her as a character?
I felt sympathetic towards her. I mean, her crime was just being kind of bossy and knowing about herbs. Because, mm-hmm. like, I mean, and
today she would be TikTok influencer.
Yes! She would be on Cottage Core TikTok.
Yes.
She would be all of our granny and be like, yes, granny.
Yes!
One of those girls who's, like, going through the forest, and she's like, look at these mushrooms I found. I'm going to bring them back and show you how I'm going to cook them.
Wait, have you ever seen the TikTok that's a grandma just saying whether or not something's bussin'?
Yes!
Oh, my God.
But cottage core.
That seems right. That feels right.
There's one woman I keep seeing on TikTok who's, like, an older woman, and this might be the same person, but she'll look and she'll be like, oh, what are you cooking? And she'll, like, look at the person cooking and be like, oh, it's this. Oh, you're doing this to it. Oh, yeah, make me a plate.
Amazing.
I mean, it's like, I feel sympathetic to Katarina. I don't think she did anything wrong. She's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
It sounds like the true witch is Ursula.
Yeah, I mean.
And really, I don't even think she's a witch. I think she's just got, like, some period problems.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, she gets really ill at the changing of the moon.
Right, I'm like,
her humors are out of whack, like.
What could it be?
Yeah, there's some shit going on there. And it's period related.
Wigging out.
It's been in there for years.
It's just a stone, but it's fine. Yeah. I don't really understand why that's that much different than shoving a copper tea up there.
Yeah, they're, I'm sure they have their ways, right?
Just a blacksmith, just get it up there.
Just even the thought of that.
I'm upset. Okay, so there has been a lot of renewed, although I guess there's always, like, interest in witch stories, but there's been a lot
witches
of renewed interest.
Witches never went out of style, baby.
Witches are still here. But specifically in real-life witch hunts in the last couple of years, thinking of, like, the witch slash the Vivitch, the Robert Eggers film. And also, this was pretty similar, actually, to a book that Emily and I read for Queer Girl Book Club called The Mercies by Kieran Millwood Hargrave.
So I would say is, like, more, like, dramatic than this. This is, like, much more lighthearted than The Mercies
was. Yeah.
A fun witch hunt.
Yeah.
That was a lot more depressing and also gay, which is fitting because gay and depressing go hand in hand, so both that book and this book focus on the witch trials of 17th century Europe, and they actually take place like a year apart from each other, which is interesting, although that one is like in Norway, I believe. But I'm much less familiar with the European witch trials than, like, the Salem witch trials, obviously because we live in America where we are only taught about our own history and nobody else's.
And also not even that well.
Even that well, incorrectly.
You mean we didn't just have a picnic with the Indians on Thanksgiving Day and then they were
That's what happened. Here's some corn, and I'll give you some mashed potatoes, and we'll hold hands.
Yeah. And I'll this blanket.
Okay. But what's going on with this trend, do you guys think? And do we like it? And also, are we going to have another series of witchcraft trials this year? This upcoming year, even, in 2022? Is this the year of the witchcraft trial?
Well, I mean, I think
of the witch hunt.
Sorry. You go. You're the guest. No, you go. I want to hear what you have to say as the guest, because if I don't say it today, I can say it next.
That's true.
I mean, I would say that, like, It almost feels like we're on the downturn of, like, witch interest right now. Like, we had a crest and now we're on the other side of it. Like, it feels like a very moment of 2016 that kind of inspired this, especially, like, the concept.
What could that be related to?
Literally just vibes. No, but just, like, the whole idea of, like, the ancillary to girl bosshood being, we are the daughters of the witches, you couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that kind of attitude of witch as girl boss feels as though it's, like, rapidly declining. But I think the fact that this novel is about an older woman kind of subverts that a tiny bit. But also, like, gave me some Elizabeth Warren, like, nasty woman vibes. But not done so heavy-handedly.
Is Katarina a girl boss?
I have kind of, like, a different perspective on that, but still political. I'm just thinking about, and I'm sorry to get depressing, but, you know, kind of like how the government is trying to control women's bodies right now a whole bunch.
I guess.
I mean, that's not new, but I think, you know, there have been some things that have come up recently that, you know, are pretty troubling if you are somebody who can have babies, or if you care about anybody who can have babies. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess just, and it all kind of boils down to, I mean, you can argue that it's about religion, and you can argue that it's about doing what's right, but, like, honestly, like, what it's really about is controlling women's bodies. So
yeah,
that's what it is.
I agree.
Or, like, or, you know, anybody who can have babies' bodies, but
yes,
generally speaking, I think, like, the main thing that they're trying to control is just, like, that area of the body.
Yes. Area. The womb.
There's something really terrifying to the world at large about the womb and anybody who owns a womb that, like, suddenly, like, those
anyone in the womb room
any rights. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
but, like, once you're out of the room, screw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The womb. Once you're out of the womb, do not care about you anymore.
No.
Which is why it's not about doing what's right, and it's not about religion. It's not about caring about lives. It's about control.
Yeah, for sure.
Hard agree. I think we're kind of shifting in a weird way. We're, like, for several years, it felt like the witches were one group of people, and now there's another group of people thinking they're being persecuted.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, like, it's like the like, return of the phrase witch hunt to mean something completely different than what a witch hunt actually was historically. Brought into popularity, obviously, by, like, the right and Donald Trump specifically being like, it's a witch hunt. People are trying to control me and censor my horrible racist thoughts and policies that want to kill actual humans. I'm being persecuted. Like, not the same thing, pal, buddy.
You were cutting in and out, but I did hear the word pussy.
I didn't even say the word pussy.
It must have been a happy accident.
It's probably my internet. The internet is not great, but I was just...
I got the gist.
Yeah. Well, did you? If the computer lied and made me say pussy, is this a deep fake?
Kelly has never said it in her life.
I've never said that word. That's inappropriate and wrong.
I would say, like, there's a political witch hunt analogy we could make that's going on and has been going on. And then there's, like, a pop culture witchiness that is sort of different.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm convinced that I get, like, on a certain side of TikTok. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, absolutely. Like,
absolutely. Emily's not a TikTok.
Like, oh, have you seen such and such on TikTok? I'm like, I have no clue who that is. I've never seen a dance. I am solidly on, like, alternative TikTok.
Right. Like, it's, there's, like, the popular TikToks that people see if they're not so far into the algorithm that, like, it knows you by heart. It'll be, like, whatever, like, stupid shit that, like, is the first thing you see when you download TikTok and open it.
I'm, like, so deep in, it's like, hi, I'm a kitchen witch, and this is what I cook on my vintage 1700s wood-burning stove in Alaska.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm getting the ones that are like, here's a melodrama staged with Sylvanian creatures.
I do subscribe to them, and I love them also.
Yeah, that's my targeted TikTok. But yeah, I mean, I think not just on TikTok, but like generally, like, you know, seeing a lot of books being published about like Wicca and like, you know, like I recently read the book that you got for me, Mary, Basic Witches, which was fun. And it was about like how you can kind of incorporate the ideas of like being a witch into like your life in ways that are not like, you know, not so like detailed and complex as like actually learning like how magic with a K works, you know? but there's also like, I mean, there also is an essay collection that came out called Waking the Witch, with like different essays about witchcraft. And it's definitely, and like if you go into like any like, you know, fucking like Urban Outfitters or whatever, will have like crystals and things, like just this kind of like like popularizing the same way that sort of like feminism has been, you know,
commodified.
Witchcraft is being commodified as well, especially by like, again, like girl boss culture. And you know, you like, If you walk into like a Hallmark store and see a book about like, you know, Waking the Witch sitting on like one of their shelves, it's like, okay, we've entered a new realm.
Or like The Strand has like a lot of tarot cards now.
Yes.
Yeah. Or even like Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know, places like that, like big box.
I got my Bachelor tarot cards right here.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Which I love
them. They are gorgeous. I'm going to show you.
They really are.
Gorgeous, gorgeous girls have Bachelor tarot cards.
Yeah, it's true. I want those.
They're so cute. And they're shiny.
Oh my God. I love them. Oh.
They're really cute.
They're really pretty. Really cute.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Selling Bachelor.
I have like five sets of tarot cards.
Yeah. But these are just like my favorite right now because they're so ridiculous. Yes,
current favesies. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's funny, and it's like, it's hard to imagine like there being an actual like, there are literally witches and we have to persecute them sort of thing happening in like our current culture. But at the same time, like, QAnon exists. Like, there's the most wild things that people actually believe. I like the things that, you know, and like the fucking vaccine conspiracies and like all these things that I'm like, how could you possibly believe that's true? These, oh my gosh, so cute. I love it.
They're all like animals native to America.
Awesome. But yeah, I don't know. It's also, it could happen. Maybe they will be accusing us, you know, and it's like the satanic panic, but.
Oh, which also still going strong.
Exactly.
And like, thanks. This stuff never dies. It never goes away. It just kind of gets quiet.
Right.
And then
gets louder again. What are you eating?
A pickle, you weirdo.
Oh, I'm the weirdo.
Pickle girls are the luckiest girls.
Please leave the pickle crunching on the audio track.
I hate pickles. So much.
I love pickles.
Oh,
just seeing you re-enter the frame with a gigantic phallic object that you were slowly inserting into your mouth was really
look, though.
Something to
behold. A crunchy pickle?
Like, wow, we're just going to suck a dick on,
almost as good as a dick.
On the podcast? Just in the middle of the podcast? Filleting.
Don't slander pickles in this.
Filleting. Oh, my God.
I feel unsafe holding this pickle now.
You should.
There is a witch hunt out there for pickle eaters.
If you're eating a pickle, that makes you pickle a freak, and we next, will.
Pickle girls with the next witches.
No.
Yes. Stone her. Okay. So I'm going to move on to the next question, which has a lot of, why did I write so much here? Okay.
It's okay.
Towards the end of the novel, when Simon is trying to sell his account of Katerina's story as a novel, he describes this conversation he has with a bookseller in a neighboring booth. Quote, "In a quiet moment, the Englishman said to me, 'If you don't mind a bit of advice, people don't like an old lady story, you know? I wouldn't lead with that part.' What would he lead with? He said he wasn't sure. He would give it a think. He went on, 'Even Shakespeare, very popular on all topics as he is, sticks to daughters and wives. An occasional mother, but not front and center, you know. You don't want an old lady front and center. Honestly, never heard of such a thing.'" So obviously this is a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge at the reader, because this is a book about an old woman that we are reading. Yeah. But I couldn't help but think about the fact, and I mentioned this earlier, that this is, like, maybe the only book we've read for this podcast where the main character is an older woman. And, like, as I mentioned before, we read Unsettled Ground last time. Those characters were in their 50s. One of the characters is a woman in her 50s. But Katerina is 74. And it makes me question why it is that, as a culture, we are apparently very disinterested in the inner lives of elderly people. Obviously, elderly women in particular. But, I don't know, it's just, like, kind of, it's weird to think about, because we definitely, like, try very hard on this podcast to read, like, about as many different kinds of people as we can, and, like, explore as many, like, voices and, you know, I don't know, perspectives as possible, but this is one that, like, is, like, we are not, we haven't, like, read a lot of it, but it's also, like, not very common within literature in general.
Yeah.
And, like, this story is based on a real woman, as we discussed, the mother of famed astronomer Johannes Kepler. And up until this reimagining, most of the books on this subject were focused on the son and his defense of his mother rather than on the woman herself. And I don't really know if I'm going anywhere with this other than to say that this is shitty and I want it to be different. So I would love to hear y'all's thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think this actually reminds me of a post I saw that was, like, really upsetting to me earlier this week, that was basically, like,
right.
it said having a woman who doesn't want kids is like having a toaster that doesn't want to make toast. Like, what's the point? And it just kind
That's
of
so dumb.
Yeah, and it just kind of, like, reminded me of the fact that, like, I mean, obviously not everyone, but the general public kind of values women for, like, what like what they can do, or, like, how they can have kids, essentially. And, like, it just made me think, like, what about all the women who can't have kids, or, like, but, like, there's this idea that you're not really a woman unless you can have children. And I'm getting to the point here, because, like, I think that's a lot of the reason that we don't, as a society, value older women. Like, the moment that you become, like, menopausal and, like, can't have children anymore, like, what is your point? You're kind of, like, wasting, and obviously this is not how I feel, but, like, the general consensus seems to be, like, you're kind of just, like, wasting space, like, once you've, like, reached the point where, like, you can't really, like, contribute to society in that way. And also, like, we kind of talked about this in text about the Sex and the City show a little bit as well, like, how, like, a lot of the criticism about the new Sex and the City show, besides the fact that Chris Noth is apparently a fucking rapist, but a lot of the critique of it is centered around the fact that it's like, oh, well, we don't really care. Like, these women are old now. Can't they just, like, go away? You know? Like, because, like, they're older, like, they don't, they shouldn't be sexual, or they shouldn't have, like, stories, and they shouldn't have, like, things that they're trying to do with their lives, or, like, we shouldn't care about them anymore. So, yeah, I just find that, like, very problematic. But, like, I think there's something to the fact that it's, like, once women reach a certain age, they kind of, like, are just seen as, like, not contributing anything anymore, which is, like, really depressing.
Which is a thing we don't necessarily do to older men. Like, I can think of tons of books about older men.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like those books most of the time.
Honestly, I just
name them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've at least read so many of their perspectives at this point that you better be, like, doing something pretty interesting for me to pick up your book.
You better at least
sometimes for me, monkey.
Exactly.
Sometimes I think about how John Updike, for real.
That's it. Sometimes I think about how John Updike.
He wrote four books that were just, like, loosely about himself systematically cheating on his wife and being a total douchebag. Yep. And people are like, great literature. Okay. Love it. Let's teach it to grad students in, you know, 50 years.
Uh-huh.
I love telling this story because it is truly a thing that happened, and it was a moment when I was just kind of like, why am I here in grad school? There was a class I was taking. It was a modernism class, and every single book we read the entire semester featured a traumatic rape scene. Every single book. And finally, like, at the end of class one day, our professor was like, yeah, next week we're going to read such and such. And I was like, is there going to be a rape scene in this book? Is it going to be about a dude raping women? And he was like,
a little.
What?
Maybe just once,
yes, every
or twice.
Book we've read has been this way.
That's wild.
I mean, but it's just like people don't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, because we're so conditioned to like, ah, yes, these men's stories, valuable. We love them.
Mm-hmm.
Old men, young men, rapey men. Great.
And everyone in between. Every man in between.
But anytime, even like, I'm thinking about, you know, Emily, you said women have to justify their existence when they get older. Like, you have to be worthy, prove yourself worthy of this attention. It's the same way, like, in general literature, too. Like, it's great to see a book about an older woman with a complex inner life, you know, and thoughts about other people, because that's something we get from
really
kids.
Mean thoughts about other people.
I just looked at my, like, I was just curious. I just looked at my, like, reading statistics for the year. 20% of the books I read were by men. That was, like,
look,
that's about all I can
We're beholden
deal.
To no one anymore.
That's, like, to... whenever my Spotify Wrapped comes out and I'm like, yep, not a single man on this list. I'm so proud of myself.
20%.
This is, just, like, Miss Andrew, the episode.
I'm fine with that. That was like
That's, like, every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could just change the name of this podcast to Miss Andrew Squad Goals. And it would be
yes.
Or just book clubbing men to death.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're
with our words
for metadata, but really emphasis on the last phrase.
Yes. But yeah, it's just something that I was thinking about, and also because Emily was, you had texted us in the chat so recently about the Sex and the City thing, which I haven't watched any of it. I have not watched the original either, but
I mean,
just like
the
idea that like they're
don't watch the new one. There's nothing in there for you.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I won't be. But I just like the thought that there are so few like stories that are publicly told in media about older women or elderly women, like even old, like the women on Sex and the City are not elderly.
No, they're in their like 50s.
Right, like even that is like
They're in their 50s and they're still having to justify like their appearance on the show, like what they look like. Like they either look too old or they look like they've had too much work done. Like
they look like women in their 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's,
which is actually a crime.
Yeah.
It's illegal. You have to wear a shroud after 40.
Yeah.
It's illegal to look your age. You have to look any other age. This is the era of Benjamin Button, and you don't
look your age. If you are a woman and you are over 21, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
What, like?
Precisely. Okay. Thanks, The Bachelor, for adding to this.
I have one of my brother's 15, and one of his teachers is one of my friends, and she said that someone in my brother's class asked her if she was alive during World War II.
No.
Oh.
Why?
Oh my God.
Like, seriously? Are you joking?
A 16-year-old?
Yeah, he's so sweet. He's so sweet. He does not understand how time works.
Oh my God.
When I taught high school, truly, if students said something to me, I'd just say yes.
I mean, that's what my friend does. She's intentionally gaslighting them about how old she is.
Yeah. I am 100.
Yeah, that's what I
used to say stuff like, I've always been here.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, what?
That's so frightening. And I'll always be here.
Just kidding. I'm just here one semester. Then I'm out.
Yeah, Mary, backstory, Mary taught high school for one semester, and she was like, actually, fuck this, and quit, which is, I have never respected you more.
I taught high school for 6 days, and I was like, do you know what would be easier than this? Publishing.
It would be easier than this? Not teaching high school. That would be easier.
Like, yes.
Yeah, teaching, bless people who teach, because it is a thankless job, and especially during the pandemic, y'all who are out there teaching, like, mad props to you, mad props, because, like, I'm so glad I'm not teaching anymore. Like, I would be totally...
You're doing a different kind of teaching.
Yeah,
that's not the same thing at all.
I'm doing a different kind of teaching by saying, hey, guys, have you ever heard of passive voice? You're doing it a lot.
Get the fuck off.
Please stop.
Such a problem that I have personally.
Yeah, I
mean, it bothers me because it's something I used to do.
Yeah, exactly. And still do, and then go through everything I write and correct it.
I do love when younger students in like their freshman seminar paper start every introduction with like, since the beginning of time, or like,
throughout history,
or Webster's history defines blah blah blah.
Yes.
As long as we've told stories.
Okay, so I have one last thing to talk about, which we briefly touched on earlier.
Can you start it with saying since the beginning of time and then go into your question?
Since the beginning of time, I have picked books for certain reasons. I originally picked this book because I thought it would be funny. And it definitely is funny in a lot of ways. But it is also revealing in a very depressing way. So how did we feel about the use of humor in this novel and how it interacts with the subject matter? I have seen this book described as satire in several reviews, but I don't really think that that's even true.
What is it satirizing?
I don't know. That's what I was asking myself as I read multiple...
Am I just not big brain enough?
Like, right.
Yeah, one thing I was particularly struck by is, like, how banal the entire process was. It's, like, waiting around for papers.
Right.
Mailing stuff. Walking.
Ain't that just the way, though?
Guy about stuff and his dog. And then
everyone's like, and then they died of the plague 2 weeks later.
Like, it really just struck me, like, how banal the entire process was. And it's just, like, the violence of bureaucracy, really. And I don't know that, like, I didn't get a sense of satire for that, perhaps because of, like, the moment that we're in now where, like, in New York, you stand in line for 4 hours to get a COVID test. Like, Bureaucracy right. is stupid and failing right now, so it's hard to satirize it almost. It's just kind of
yeah.
like, yeah, this makes
sense. That's how it is.
Like,
right.
of course you would have to do it this way, and of course it doesn't feel that different now because so many of our systems are just based on, like, slogging through some shit.
Right. That's a good point. And, like, the sort of, like, letters of complaints that are being written and, like, the very petty things that the people in this village... And, like, the idea that, like, towards the end, like, the people who originally, like, accused her of this are like, but can she, like, have less guards? Because, like, sure, she's dangerous, but they're, like, using her money to burn a lot of wood, and that's taking away from our money. So, like...
Yeah, it was like arguing in the office, like, who's using all the nice pens?
Right.
That yeah. kind of shit. Like, it was all yeah. just, like, kind of depressing and funny, like, how a witch hunt, which we, like, glamorize and have made into movies and books and, like, these really intensely emotional,
melodramatic.
Really just kind of, like... This is annoying. I had to wait in line, and someone here mm-hmm. would like some grain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, like, also, I started wondering if Katarina had just, like, not said anything.
Yeah.
Would she...
not have had to deal with all of this?
Dragged through the legal system.
Yeah. Yeah.
She really just got Twitter discoursed hard.
Yeah, yeah, she didn't mind her business, and... she was canceled.
Jaden.
Like, okay, so when I was, like, looking around online, I, like, obviously I didn't do, like, a deep dive into the history of it, but I did, like, look around just to see, like, what was easily accessible as far as, like, what really happened. I couldn't find, like, a whole bunch of details, but, like, honestly, like, as I was reading this, I felt like if you told me, like, this is all, like, exactly how it happened, I would believe it. Like, there wasn't anything that was, like, so outlandish. And, like, normally when yeah. I think about satire, I think it, like, something a little bit more outlandish than what happens here. Like, there were definitely yeah. like humorous moments, but there wasn't anything that was like, wow, that was just, like, off the wall.
Right.
So. It is funny. Like, the way it is written and Katarina's voice is funny sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
She's very sassy. She has a lot of opinions.
And, like, and
that is fun. But I don't know that it actually reads as funny if you're not deep in it. Because I, like, read a few passages aloud to Todd, and he was like, what?
I, like, funny? Particularly some of the exchanges that she has with her family early on, too. Like, her son's wife, who's, like, obsessed with these pamphlets. And she's like, I read this pamphlet. Let me show you.
The Barbaras were
like, just these, like, exchange. And then there's, like, this whole exchange that happens between, like, when her... I think her son is talking about her other son, and he's like... So he was, you know, my brother, like, was talking about this apple, and then someone else is like, I thought it was pears. And he's like, well, it wasn't. It was apples. And then he keeps, like, talking about it, and then the other person interrupts, and they're like, but, like, I'm pretty sure it was actually a pear, and you... and, like, just these, like, sort of conversational things that happen.
I've sat through conversations like that, where someone's yeah. like, do you think it was December 11th or December 12th? Well, it couldn't have been the 12th, because...
Right.
It doesn't matter!
Yeah,
right.
Actually feel like you're losing your mind for a second.
Yes.
Like,
you're
like, are
yeah.
you just misunderstanding the importance here? Like, is it me?
Or why are we talking about this? That's like every conversation with my dad, actually. He loves to focus on insignificant details and go around in circles about them for like an hour. And I'm like, have you considered that I don't care? And why are you telling me this? But yeah, just like stuff like that. I feel like it what like the humor was in like, as Ayla was saying, the mundane things. And, like, but yeah, I wouldn't call it a satire because, like Emily was saying, most of this did, like, none of this was, like, fully made up except for, like, Simon's backstory because there was, like, not any information about him. So, like, in the acknowledgments, Galchen talks a little bit about, like, what she found. And a lot of, like, the letters are, like, translations that she sort of paraphrased, I guess. But, like, you know, things that Katerina said. And the main thing that she invented was Simon and his, like, you know, his story, because he was, like, a total minor character.
Also, she was like, I didn't want to be disrespectful to him. I don't know. He was, like, in the 1600s. He's good.
He's fine.
He doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know. He's dead.
Yeah.
I hope he's dead.
Yeah, you know how many people are writing memoirs about people who are alive and, like, in their lives where they're, like, totally just spilling all the tea and do not care? Like, I think it would have been okay.
Yes.
I think Simon's fine.
He's okay. Yeah. He's
Simon
doing okay.
Simon is offline.
Yeah. he has left the chat.
Yeah. Simon left the chat several hundred years ago.
Before there was a chat, he was gone.
Again. Simon has never heard the word chat.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Unless Katerina's final act as a witch was to grant him immortality. Or that.
Unless he's Binks from fucking Hocus Pocus.
Oh, no. Gosh. He had to get the Hocus Pocus reference in because
witches.
Okay, so Ayla, just so you know, we usually rate the book. But we have to use our Goodreads rating. No half stars are allowed, but you can say what your half star would be if you were allowed to give it a half star, but you have to choose a star. If that makes sense.
Star.
Okay, so I will go first. I gave it 3 stars. Which is because, like, I was saying this to Emily earlier that, like, there's nothing specific that I can point to that I, like, disliked about this. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I had a good time reading it, but I also didn't feel, like, there were a couple of moments where I felt some emotional weight, but for the most part, it didn't really hit me in a way that felt like I could, you know, give it more, like, a higher rating without feeling I was being a little bit disingenuous, because it wasn't, like, it's not something that is going to, like, stay in my heart. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Even though it's, like, fun and different, and also I do really admire, like, we discussed that it is a book about an elderly woman from her perspective about her life. I think that's cool. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I wasn't sure what I expected. Like, it's not like it's not, like, it didn't meet my expectations necessarily, but I just, like, I feel like I was left kind of wanting something more, but I can't identify what that something more is.
Yeah. I also gave it a 3, and Kelly and I had a talk about this before, so, but as a disclaimer, again, like, I did listen to the audiobook, and I feel like listening to the audiobook did, like, really change the way that I, like, received this book. This is not a book, if you are planning on reading it, this is not a book that I would recommend on audiobook, like, at all. I mean, the narrator wasn't terrible, but she wasn't, like, great, and it's just one of those books that would have benefited from, like, at least more than one narrator. And I just, like, for me, I felt like there was just a certain point in the story where I was like, I get where this is going. I get the point that it's trying to make, and now I just feel like I'm reading it because I have to finish it and not because I'm, like, curious about what's going to happen. And so, like, while it was, like, well written and interesting and, like, I think that it seemed like it was very well researched, I don't know, like, it just felt longer than it needed to be.
Yeah, my main critique is that it felt like an Alice Munro story that was just given too much room to keep running.
Yeah.
It needed a smaller cage.
Yeah.
Maybe if it had been, like, a good, like, novella or something like that.
Yeah, like Karen Russell's, like, sleep donation or something.
Yeah, it was, like, and it's funny because it wasn't even long to begin with. Like, it's a pretty short book.
Long, but it still felt...
felt long.
Yeah, honestly, like... So I've read, like, the only other thing of Galchen's that I've read is her essay collection, Little Labors, which is also about motherhood, coincidentally. but it's kind of about being a younger woman or like a younger mother than this protagonist. And I really love that essay collection. Like, 5 stars for that. It's my emotional support essay collection. It came up from Coffee House Press, and I just really love it. So I think I was looking for that degree of resonance here, but it really, I don't know. Like, I feel like if I were an agent, or I mean, I am an agent.
Hypothetically.
I feel like if I didn't just sit around playing the spelling bee word game all day. just kidding. I feel like had I received this as a query in like my inbox, I would have been initially intrigued, but like a little worried that it was too small a story, or like the question of whether it could fill up an entire book. Like it would have been interesting, but I would have really expected to only sell it at like a really small house, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And like not everything needs to be like a doorbuster, like emotional ruiner, like fucking a Yanagihara book. Like it's okay for it to just be like medium interesting and pleasant. But yeah, also 3 stars.
Thank you.
I'm going to say I gave it 4 stars. I really liked it. I liked reading it. I read it really quickly, partially out of necessity, but partially because I was truly just enjoying it. Like, there was no part of it where I was thinking, like, oh, this is a slog to read or whatever. I do agree it was, like, a little longer than it needed to be. And I could have done without some of, like, Katarina traveling all around, and that didn't really amount to anything. But I did really enjoy it, and I think it was definitely, like, out of my comfort zone. I don't think I would have picked to read this, but this is like an instance where I was really pleasantly surprised and really enjoyed it.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think like for me, it was definitely, I was also saying this to Emily in our text earlier, that it's kind of like a 3.5 that I,
you know, these texts.
Yeah.
I know.
Bad art friend.
Bad art, no. But you know, I don't feel quite strong enough about it to have to like round it up, so I rounded down instead. But
I will be going to the Duke with a formal complaint.
Hopefully he doesn't like die of plague.
Kelly is a witch for withholding
a half star rating.
Yes.
And also information. Okay, well, I'm glad that we are all basically on the same page about that and no one hated it.
Yay. Excessively neutral.
Yeah. Still a success to me. Unless like last we all hate something and that's also fun. I know.
Yeah. Also, we're starting 2022 off with a real thing.
Strong. Stay tuned to find out what we're reading next.
Fine. I guess I'll have to text you and then we can subpoena those texts.
No, you can't. We'll say it at the end of the episode, but first we have to deal with more, speaking of bureaucratic details. We have some listener feedback.
Don't be like that.
Yes, I was like, this is bureaucratic detail.
The listener feedback is the good part, but then we have to do... we have to talk about the blog that doesn't exist, and also
what's next time. It's fine. We're coming back. Don't worry.
So who wants to read these? Someone want to read Jordan's?
I'll read Jordan's.
Okay, cool.
Jordan wrote, "Hey, it's Jordan from Baltimore. Crazy tongue emoji." I was excited to read this book because this book, oh, by the way, this is about a detransition baby by Tori Peters. I was excited to read this book because it is a perspective we don't see enough of. I found detransitioning to be very interesting since I first heard about it, which was probably like 5 years ago when I was a freshman in college. In my actual life, I only know one person that detransitioned. She was assigned female at birth and transitioned to male when she started college, which is when I met her. A few years later, she detransitioned and identifies as a gender fluid woman now. Her perspective is the only perspective I really know besides like one person online that changed her mind about gender. The person I know detransitioned mostly due to self-discovery. We are technically Gen Z, but right on the cusp of being a millennial. So I'd say we grew up in a time where people are more allowed to play with their identity, but there hasn't been enough exploration to understand the possibilities and limits enough to even know how to do it. I think this is what led the person I know to think she had to go from one extreme to the other in terms of gender before she realized that she can live in between them. So I was very interested to learn about why Ames detransition and how it contrasted. As far as the book goes, I would love to see this as a movie. I gave the book like a low 4-star rating. I enjoyed it and benefited from it. I feel like it left me wanting a lot more. I usually only skim synopsis.
Yeah, I wasn't sure
how you would pronounce it. But I thought we were going to focus mostly on watching them parent together through the child's life. I would have loved to see some of that. However, I do love a good character-driven story. Smiley face.
Yeah.
Big smiley face. That's about all I have to say. I hope you all have a great month.
For real. Fuck Thanksgiving.
Crazy smiley tongue laugh cry emoji. Crying.
Jordan.
Yeah. I do think that there is a difference between, because like Ames is like millennial, right? So yeah. Like I do think there is a difference between like how Ames views gender and like the reasons he detransitioned versus like why maybe this person that Jordan's talking about, like there I do think there's like a generational thing to that, right? So that's interesting.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
It's also just like complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good to like hear different experiences because it's not like an easy A or B answer.
But also good to know that the young people are listening to this because we're old.
I know. Wow. Is Jordan our youngest listener?
Thanks for letting us know about what you Gen Z people are up to. Because, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. If you're Gen Z, please write in.
Y'all are on TikTok, right?
If you know how to write. Just kidding.
Yeah, you can text it if you still do that.
No one writes in cursive anymore.
Yeah. If you're Gen Z, please send us a TikTok with your listener feedback.
No, Jordan, thank you so much,
Jordan. We love hearing from you.
That was a very good perspective, and we're not making fun of you. We're making fun of ourselves.
Not at all. I love to hear...
Just to make sure. We're making fun of ourselves.
We love you, and we're so glad to have you as a listener. And also, I love to hear, like, some personal stories, because I want to get to know the listeners, you know? So, I'm a woman of the people. So speaking of listeners that we have personal information about, we have a letter from Darcy.
I know.
Darcy from Wyoming has written in. Hi, ladies and listeners. I can't believe we have read the last book for 2021. What was your favorite book for the year? We will answer these questions in a minute. The worst. My favorite was Transcendent Kingdom, and my worst, Docile, my only zero rating ever.
I didn't feel
know
that.
You could rate fair. Zero. I didn't know that was an option.
I mean, I'm not sure if it is, but.
Have y'all heard the TikTok that it's like, I would like to give this a zero, but that's not possible.
That's not possible.
A one.
Yes. Me, like, a lot of times.
Pyra Bang.
Oh my god. Okay, so moving on to my feedback about Unsettled Ground. This was not a feel-good book at all. After listening to you all, I can see how you had a hard time relating to the story. I loved the relationship between the brother and sister. It was messy and true instead of everything is so awesome between them. The death of a parent can change relationships, and either you grow apart or together. I think the mom was the glue that held them together. Some of the plot didn't make sense to me. For example, the eviction out of their home, it happened too fast. It was hard emotionally to see their belongings on the street and gone. That is my biggest fear, being homeless. They were survivors. You could see their determination. Even though the author had the siblings in their 50s, I pictured the daughter in her 20s and the brother in his 30s. I think the ages of them in their 50s is why younger people were not buying the point of the story. Which, this is back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
The supporting characters were fun for me. We all have people like that in our lives. I described this book by saying a mother's death and the messiness of life bring a brother and sister closer together and farther apart, settling in the end that life does go on. Merry Christmas and a belated happy Hanukkah. Good. Cheers to 2022.
Yeah. That's a good, like, nice one sentence.
Right. That could be the Goodreads summary instead of several paragraphs.
What it is.
Thank you, as always, Darcy.
I think you and I have the same favorite and least favorite of the year. Wait, was Docile this year? I don't think Docile was this year, though.
I think maybe...
It's always at the forefront.
I know. I'm like, when was that? It's possible that Darcy read it this year, because I know she, like, will read a little bit behind sometimes.
I'm looking back at what we read this year, but I definitely know my favorite.
I know. I'm looking at the podcast.
Transcendent Kingdom was by far my favorite. Like, that book, like, I gave it 5 enthusiastic stars. Like, I really love that book. And I want to go back.
Yeah, Docile was in November of 2020, so yeah, I think that is... Yeah. Yeah.
We have...
Yep.
Luster. Transcendent Kingdom, When No One Is Watching, Makeup Breakup, Kim Ji Young, Born 1982, Earthlings, The Chosen and the Beautiful, Malibu Rising, Clara and the Sun, Sorrowland, Detransition Baby, Unsettled Ground, Everyone Knows Your Mother
Is Alive. Probably my least favorite was Unsettled Ground then. So,
yeah. Yeah. I would say my favorite was... maybe Clara and the Sun, though Transcendent Kingdom would be, like, a close second. And my least favorite would be When No One Is Watching.
I think my favorite is Clara and the Sun, and I think my least favorite is Malibu Rising.
Fair.
No, we all picked one of Susan's books.
Oh, no!
I mean, Malibu Rising just, like, wasn't my kind of... It wasn't my thing, you know?
Susan isn't here to defend her choices.
I know.
I'm, like, looking through the other ones, and I'm like, what else did I not like? But...
I mean, I...
I didn't love makeup or... Makeup
yeah, that would be my other one.
Most of them, though, probably. Like, I either loved them or I was, like, at least, like, that was fine. Like, there have been books that we've read in previous years where I was like, I fucking hate that I had to read this. And there weren't any books this year that I felt that strongly about that I, like, hated. So, I think that means that it was a pretty good year overall, everyone. Great job.
Ayla, do you have a personal favorite and least favorite in your own reading for the year?
Oh, I don't know how to read.
No. Remember, she doesn't do her job. We just talked about this.
It's not that. I think Animal by Lisa Tadeo was my favorite that I read, because, like, I literally rearranged my days and, like, my work reading schedule so I could have more time to read it. I haven't done it in a really long time.
That's nice. That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and another book I absolutely loved was We Keep the Dead Close by Becky Cooper, which I fucking loved. It got me out of my reading rut, which was also a nice feeling. And my least favorite book, I'm not a book, like, push through and finish kind of person.
Yeah.
I admire that. I am.
Them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You really are. I abandon them pretty quickly if I'm not enjoying it. Although there is a certain forthcoming book by a certain well-loved novelist of gay experience that I read part of, The Galley, and absolutely fucking hated. Yeah, I think I've almost gotten too liberal with that in my line of work. Just because if I don't love the first sentence, I'm like, out of my face. Goodbye.
Yeah.
decline.
That's fair. Also, I should say that Ayla is a wonderful writer in her own right. And we should, we will link to her amazing short story that she recently posted that is so good.
My first travail into fucking self-publishing, because it's a 30-page short story. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. I love it. And also, it's called No Heart.
Oh, I started reading that today, and I don't think I made the connection that that was you.
Yes, because I retweeted it earlier. Mm-hmm. My queen. It's very good.
I love drunk squirrels.
But then I was like, I'm working. I can't.
It's 30 pages.
I can't fully dedicate my time to this.
Honestly, I should have been there. I literally opened my email at one point today and said out loud, no.
Yeah.
Who among us, you know?
I don't even have my cats here that I could have feasibly been speaking
to. Oh, yeah. We always have to ask our guests about their animals. So tell us a little bit about Miss Cleopatra, please.
So I have Cleopatra. It's a pun, you bitch.
I'm sorry. Whatever.
Not whatever. That's the cat's name.
We do know you can't talk. I can't
read. That's her name. That's her full name.
I can't talk. I can't read. That's why we met.
The thing is, it goes... Yeah, exactly. The thing is, her name is Cleo. Like, almost never is the full name referred to. So I can be forgiven. Right?
I suppose. Maybe. But yeah, it's Cleopatra because her brother, my friend's cat was supposed to be named Julius to honor all the years of high school Latin we took together.
Aww.
But she is the sweetest, most anxious little tabby. She has resting, worried Russian dowager face. Like, she knows the peasants are coming for the Tsar and there's fucking nothing she can do about it. And she's just resigned herself to her fate.
It's true. And she's only, I've been in your apartment so very many times, and she's only let me pet her, like, twice.
Yeah, and she's maybe come out once.
Yeah.
I need a picture of her.
Oh, yes.
I will send it around.
Will you send a picture of her? Oh, I don't know if you'll be able to do this before, because she's, like, not with you right now, but I was going to ask if you could send a picture of her with the book.
I may have one, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'll look around.
Good.
I might have taken something of her. But, yeah, she went home with my roommates for break, and I am bereft. We also have a second cat named Motor, Mo for short, that we found in the garbage. So we have Princess Kitty and yeah. Trash Cat. So they are the embodiment of that TikTok audio. Oh no, the pH of the soil is too high and I may die. And fuck yeah, concrete. That is their
concrete.
Emily's like, what are you talking about right now? Not a TikTok person. But concrete. Mo is really cute also. She is black, but like slight torty. She has like a little bit of the like torty pattern on her face. But it almost looks like dirt.
A little tuft of orange and white on her chest.
Yes.
And she's so fucking stupid, it literally hurts me.
I love her.
I watched her try to fight my shadow on the wall yesterday.
Protecting you.
No, she just kept looking at me being like,
oh,
why isn't it moving? And it's like, because I am not
moving.
Here is
my baby.
That's Emily's cat.
He likes to get in the sink.
Hi!
That's Murray.
His name is Murray.
Murray.
I love him.
Moo. Emily has three cats. Mary has two cats. Lots of cats.
You have two cats.
Basically.
You have between two and six cats.
Yeah. I have one cat, one step cat, and like six.
Several foster
cats. Yeah.
Do you have any foster
cats? Kippen. Yeah, we have two right now. We still have... Yeah.
Iggy.
They're currently being watched, sat, because Justine and I are both out of town, so we have friends coming over to feed them every day.
Emily and Ben are going to babysit for our cats.
Aww, kitty babies. Okay, so quickly, what's on the blog?
I
said there's no longer a blog, but Mary wrote, me have one. So Mary, please tell us.
I I felt so bad because I remember like a week or so ago, I was supposed to have a blog post and that day was just like absolutely horrible. And I was like, well, I can't. And maybe if I don't say anything about it.
I figured we were just done and that we would restart in January. Like,
but
yeah,
it's hard. I have been writing. I mostly have a blog post done, though, about crying at H Mart and my relationship with my mom, because I read Crying at H Mart like much earlier in the year, and I still have like thought about it a lot all year. And so just coming up on the holidays and feeling a little reminiscing. Yeah,
especially because that book is so much.
Oh, well, I look forward to reading that.
Food and like how food is connected to like memories of your like family and stuff like that. So I can see how that would be something yes. you're thinking about yeah. a lot right now. So yeah, I look forward to reading that.
Yeah. So it's mostly done, and I'm going to try to publish it tomorrow before Yay, we go out of town.
Yay! I can't wait to read it. So next time on the podcast, our next other sode, which will be on January 10th, is our favorite things of 2021, where we each pick three favorite things of 2021 and list them. Then we have...
It's going to be hard to pick three.
I know. I don't even know what happened this year.
It's been a bleak year.
At all. I'm going to be like, oh, I liked this thing, and it'll be like...
My favorite thing yeah. was my grandmother died. Yay. My kids finished it.
Rip mama. Yeah, I'm going to be like, my favorite thing is this, and then I'll realize it came out in 2018.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Then we also will have our secret, quote-unquote, even though we all know who each other has now. through a variety of failures. Non-denominational gift-giving ceremony, which will be on January 10th.
It's a ceremony now.
Why not, you know? And then what is our next book episode, Emily, who just disappeared? Oh, she got it. I should have known.
Put it in front of the screen.
It is My Heart is a Chainsaw.
My Heart is a Chainsaw by Stephen Graham Jones. So I have enjoyed the Stephen Graham Jones that I have read in the past. Now I am, okay, some people have really enjoyed this book and other people have not. And so I don't want to, like, I have enjoyed Stephen Graham Jones, but I've not read this before. So if you don't like this one, check out his other stuff at least. But it might be great. We might love it.
Who knows? Yeah. We're going to find out. Also, I will say my opinions are my own, but I did design the jacket cut like back and flaps for this book and also the arc. Yeah, I did all that.
Did?
I laid that out. Yeah. I didn't do the front cover. That was done by my boss, the inimitable Lisa Litwack. Inimitable.
You do this one?
Yeah, but yeah, I did all those quotes on the inside front. I didn't do that part. I did that back part, though. Yes, I did. Okay, so I have some more things to say that include that you can follow us at Book Squad Goals on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can visit our website at booksquadgoals.com, which is where you can find our blog. You can subscribe to us on any podcast app of your choice. But please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because that is the most important one. And that's where other podcasts apps draw our information from. Also, Ayla, have you given us a 5-star rating and review yet?
I think I did, but I'll go back and check.
Okay.
And I think it was after you mentioned me in one of your podcasts about Blind Manor or something. You're
like,
okay.
I was in this episode. Five stars. Great job.
That checks out.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Never mind then. I was trying to put you on the spot and make you feel uncomfortable, but it didn't work because you had actually done a nice thing for me.
I am nothing if not, as I've recently discovered, very charming.
Recently discovered?
I didn't know that's what that was. I thought I was just like, I'm usually not a dick to people unless I have to be.
It's called, charm, I guess. I was looking for another word, but I have run out of synonyms for this evening. yeah, a lot of things that I can't do. Thank you very much for joining us, Ayla. Where can people find you on the internet if you want them to?
I once had someone tell me I was very mysterious on the internet, and that's how I knew they were terrible at research. Because I am all over Twitter all the time. Sorry to everyone. Kayla, Sam, Kay.
And that's what that is.
So I get a lot of professional correspondence that's like, Dear Kayla Sansk, despite the fact that my
Sansk,
oh my gosh,
is just my
name. Yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, Kayla Sansk, and I actually don't remember my Instagram one, so I'm not going to say it.
Something similar, probably, maybe.
Yeah, it might be Ayla Zeef, I don't remember.
Oh, that is it, yes.
Okay, my friend says that he always reads it as Azalea Leaf.
Same thing.
But yeah, find me there. I write
a recent quality tweet.
Yeah,
my two sexualities are Hunter and Gat.
Ayla's actually hilarious on Twitter, so ignore her apology. It's a combination of really funny tweets and hot selfies. If that interests you,
it does. If you have taste.
If you have taste at all.
But also everyone here is hot and cool, so follow everyone or else I'll kill you.
Wow, that's so true.
Scorpio.
So true, bestie.
In some areas.
I'm a Scorpio in some areas.
I would say the majority of them. But yeah, this is great. Thank you for having me. Y'all are really smart and fun.
Aww.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, and you'll have to come back the next time we find out that we just happen to be reading the same book at the same time.
I'm not at all going to be following your Goodreads like a fucking hawk to figure it out.
Okay, well, but looking forward to that.
So this was really kind of you.
Well, yay. This was fun, and happy new year to all of our listeners. We'll see you in 2022. Recently, I was writing a rent check. Actually, not even recently, like 3 months ago. And I gave it to my roommate, and she was like, Kelly, you wrote 2022 on this check.
I always think that at the end of the year, I'm like, ready.
I did the opposite thing where I was journaling and wrote 2017.
I'm just like, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go. I'm done. So, moving on to next year. See you then, every person listening, all 10 of you.
It's going to be better.
Yes.